soul's refrain.
Worship you, Almighty God.
I worship you.
Worship you, Jesus.
We love you, Lord.
Bless you, Jesus.
We love you, Jesus.
We worship you,
Jesus.
We honor
you, Lord. I worship you, Jesus.
I
worship you, Jesus.
You satisfy the longing of our hearts.
I worship you, Jesus.
You are our all in all,
Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus. Father, we bless you.
Praise you, Father. Worship you, Jesus.
Father, we thank you for life.
Jesus.
Eternal life.
Jesus.
It's only found in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Holy Father, you alone are worthy. You alone are worthy, Father. We've been reconciled to you. Confession of our lips and the faith of our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. Reconciled to you, Father. Born of you. Your nature has quickened us, Father. We've gone from death unto life.
Worthy are you, Jesus, Lamb of God.
You have quickened my spirit, Father. You have quickened my spirit.
Yes, Lord.
You are my Father.
Yes,
and I worship you, Jesus. Jesus, you are worthy of all praise and all glory. Father, we bless you and we thank you for all that you are, which is sufficiency. We thank you for the glory that will consume, Father, this nation. We thank you for your glory that will consume our town, Father, where the blind will see, lame will walk, lepers will be cleansed, death will hear, and even the dead will be raised, Father. And the poor will have the gospel preached unto them, Jesus. All to your glory, Father. All to your everlasting glory. For you alone are worthy and you alone are holy, Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory. If you can get that little medley ready for me, Marty, please. Thank you, guys. Gals. Worship you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Almighty God. Something incredible happened about 3 weeks ago. You know, your flesh whispers a lot, exceedingly a lot. It always whispers to me and you that we never pray enough, we never fast enough, we never worship enough. It always barks like a 200-pound pit bull. But the good thing about it is that our life is living the Spirit. We wear a flesh, but we are not who the flesh says that we are. I think a man by name, the Lamb of God, took care of that problem for us. But something happened so awesome about 3 weeks ago. And it changed me forever. Because when it was done, I knew in my heart that I had nothing to do with it. And that's incredible to know something powerful happens and that you have nothing to do with it. How many of you know that when I've prayed for people before, and nothing has happened, I blame myself because I said, I haven't prayed enough. I haven't done a 40-day fast. Well, if that's still my mindset, then I think I have something to do with it. I might better be careful because I might think I'm God if I think I have something to do with it. Or I haven't prayed enough. I haven't. Well, wait a minute, Homer, you're not the miracle worker. You're not the miracle worker, Homer, but you serve the miracle worker. You serve the miracle worker. I like how one of my mentors in the faith says it. All we are to be is a galley slave. I choose to be a slave, or I try my best to. A slave that has no rights. A slave that doesn't want any rights, but to honor him who brought him forth from the dead, spiritual death. And often when I pray for people, oh my God, I haven't prayed enough, I haven't fasted, I've never done a 40-day fast before, this isn't going to work. Well, I need to be careful. You need to be careful, Homer, because you might think you're God. The Bible says in Matthew 8 that he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. Himself. Yeah. Himself. Yeah. Took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Himself. Himself being the Lamb of God. Yeah. But 3 weeks ago, something powerful happened. I was in my office, and I usually stay here all day long. But I went home early this one day, about maybe about 1 or 2 o'clock, and I went to my house. It changed me forever. The Lord's been dealing with me a lot about his glory. You know, his glory quickened me and you. It brought us from death unto life. His glory quickened me and you. And that same glory that quickened me and you is a glory that abides in us. John said in him was life, and that life was the light of men. That is becoming so real to me. Even in the toughest, most emotional battles of my life, that is becoming so real to me. I won't go into detail, but that is becoming so real to me, where there is a reliance and a knowing that I serve my God out of my spirit and nowhere else. Emotions mean nothing to my Father, though he cares about us, but we don't serve him out of the flesh. We serve him out of the glory that's quickened us. So his glory quickened me. His glory lives in me. And I bring him glory. I glorify him by living out of the glory that lives in me. And when I'm done, I want to prove to you that it's all him. When I preach God's word, I'm preaching somebody else's word. I'm preaching the word of God. When I grab this microphone, I'm teaching the word of God. I was nothing without Jesus. I was dead and lost, headed for judgment, headed to a lake of fire, till these lips and this heart believed that he was the Messiah. And his glory brought me from spiritual death to spiritual life. And then his glory remained in me, and I became a new creature. I wasn't refurbished. I was a brand new creation in Christ. His glory quickened me. His glory lives in me. And as I obey the words of my spirit, I bring him glory. And when I'm all said and done and I utter my last breath, I receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. It's all him. All I do is serve him. All I do is when I get this mic in my hand, I'm testifying of him. I love going with my wife to Walmart now, because though right now for season I can't see, I know there's somebody in that Walmart that needs to hear about Jesus. And my mind plays games with me, saying, you can't even see. You can tell somebody about God's mighty power. Yes, I am. Amen. Yes, I am. Amen. Your flesh is Homer, you're an idiot. I say, flesh, your mother's an idiot. But something happened so remarkable as the Lord is showing me it's Him. It's all Him. 70 times in Psalm 18, there's a personal pronoun referencing God. Even the old covenant saints knew that it was God. 10 times in Psalms 3, there's a pronoun there making reference to God. The same thing in Psalms 23, 70 times in Psalms 18, God is referenced. He is referenced. Even the old covenant saint that was spiritually dead knew enough that it was God. In Psalms 27, over 18 or 19 times, he references God. He is God. He is Lord. And I'm starting to use I, Homer, real loosely. Now, there's an I in Christ and there's an I in Messiah. But there's no I in Homer. But I do want to be a slave. I do want to be a slave for Him. And I mean that with all my heart. Nothing else seems to matter anymore. Oh, I love my family so much and my kids. Oh, my God, they're my world. But you get to a point where you taste how good He is. And no matter what emotional battle comes at you, you know that the anchor holds. And 3 weeks ago, I went home. And it was so powerful, the best that I can recall, the best that I can discern within myself, unless there's a subtlety in there that I don't know about. Something miraculous happened. My niece was there. And my niece by marriage through my wife. She's my wife's blood. She just had a baby. I think the baby's 4 months old. Is that right, baby? And the baby had something on her hind end. I don't know what it is, but it was between her... I'm trying to be determined correctly. Between her left cheek and her the middle part. The baby couldn't even use the bathroom. I mean, you're talking about a two-month-old baby. They could barely use the bathroom without screaming. A big boil on her. And it was turning into an ulcer, and they couldn't clean it because it was next to a blood vessel or an artery or something like that, and they were scared if they cleaned it that the baby could die and bleed to death. How many of you know that a two-month-old baby does not need to go through that? Or any person in the world. Not a Muslim. Not a homosexual. Not a fornicator. Not adultery. Nobody needs to go through that. And I didn't feel like praying for that baby. But I knew to pray for the baby. Does that make any sense? I didn't feel the anointing. But to an extent, I knew what His word said. And I knew that that baby was in torment. I don't know, my daughter-in-law's here today, and she raises my little niece, my little granddaughter, Mia. Free Willy, I call her. She's real loud. And I know how it can be raising a baby. She's a young mom, and my little granddaughter's loud, and it can be emotional for her. Now, my niece hadn't slept in like a month. Soundly, she hadn't slept, neither had the baby because of the pain that the baby was in. I mean, a big old boil on her backside all the way in the middle, and she couldn't even use the bathroom, and the baby had, I could just imagine the mama for a whole month not sleeping, the stress that she felt and the hurt and agony that she felt over her little baby that couldn't sleep. You picture that now. A mama in torment. She hadn't rested, and her heart broken because her own offspring was in so much pain and agony, and doctors could do nothing. They could do nothing. So I called my son Nathaniel. I said, son, go get the baby. I think it was him or Elijah, one of the two. Was it Nathaniel, baby? Nathaniel. I said, go get the baby. And I sat down. I was going to go hear some messages by some of my mentors. I hadn't heard them in a while. And I sat down. I said, bring me that baby. I had a 15-second prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. I didn't yell, I didn't scream. I call this baby whole, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But I knew at that moment that the best that I can recall, the best that I can discern, unless there's something in me that I can't discern yet, I knew that day something was going to happen, because I was being at the beginning phases of knowing that I had nothing to do with it. I knew I had nothing to do with it. I knew my dependency was on his promise, which is his word, and what Jesus Christ had done for me and for that little baby on Calvary. I knew that. So I said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the first thing I said was, this baby will sleep tonight and rest. And I'm crying. Not because he used me, but because the glory of my Father, the manifested glory of God, was present. And that little girl, for the first time, slept for 11 straight hours. Woke up, drank her bottle, and slept four more. The mama called me crying on the phone. And I'm going to say I, because I was the one that prayed. I was the one that was honored, that was asked by God to pray for her. She said, when you pray for my daughter, she hasn't been the same. The sores, it's drying up. I've slept every day so good. There's power in knowing that we have nothing to do with it. There's power in knowing that all the glory is God's. Every single bit of it. Every bit of it is his. All the glory belongs to my King. The mother went on Instagram and put it on Instagram so everybody could see. My daughter is so much better. That's what we're after here in this church. I love what my pastor said today. Look, miracles are who God is. That's part of his DNA. He wants every sinner, saint, Muslim, Jehovah Witness, Catholic, Baptist. He wants us all healed, saved, and delivered. He's not a respecter of persons. And I was so happy that day that the glory and the presence of my Father was felt. And something happened to that little girl, and that mama slept too, and she's been over to the house a couple of times already. I cry because she was touched in the name of my God, the God whom I serve. When I preach this gospel, I'm preaching his word. It was his glory that touched her. It was just my obedience to his word. So where do I get glory at? Do I get an applause? Or do I applaud him? For manifesting forth his glory and touching that little baby and the mama. We've got to come to that realization that it's his glory. I am nothing of myself. Without his glory quickening me, I was headed to the lake of fire, to eternal judgment. And then I met him, and his glory quickened me, lives in me. And as I live out of that glory, I glorify him. And as I glorify him on that last day, when I utter my last breath, he's going to give me a crown of glory that does not fade away. Hallelujah. And I'm learning so much at this walk. I'm learning just like you. I know The more and more I know about the Bible, I come to the conclusion that I knew less and less about it before I knew more and more. I mean, there's just so much more of the Bible that I don't know than what I do know, but I do know this. I do know I've been freed from sin through the power of the rebirth. I do know that. And I'm starting to know it more and more. It's all His glory. It's all His glory. All of it. When you sing up here, boys, you sing to bring Him glory. You sing to bring Him glory. The Lord's been trying to show me more and more this whole week. I've spent hours in 3 in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. A certain episode on the mountain of transfiguration, I believe it. Matthew covers it in Matthew 16 and 17, and Mark covers it in Mark 8 and 9, and I think Luke covers it in Luke 9, the mountain of transfiguration. Matthew records that his face was shining as the sun. Mark records that his raiment was shining exceeding whiter than snow. Luke records that his raiment was glistering. As James and John and Simon Peter went to the mountain of transfiguration with Jesus, the Bible says that they beheld his glory. They beheld the glory. They saw Elijah there and they saw Moses. But the Bible says in Luke that they beheld his glory. His glory being Jesus. The glory of Jesus. And something happened on that day that at that moment they could not comprehend. They had no comprehension that moment of what was being manifested. What they saw that day was a transfiguration. The countenance of Jesus was altered. They said that his face was shining like the sun. Can you imagine? His face was shining like the sun. His raiment was shining, exceeding whiter than snow. And his raiment was glistering. What did they see that day? What did they see that day that Peter would later on write in 1 Peter that there's a marvelous light living inside of us? What did John see that day that he would write about the light in the book of 1 John? And James, the brother of John, we know about according to the book of Acts that he was martyred for the light. But what did they see that changed their life that day? A voice came from a cloud and said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Well, Peter used the terminology beloved 6 or 7 times in 1 Peter and 2 Peter. John used it a lot in the book of 1 John. I've been going through that portion of scripture over and over again. What did they see that changed their life? They didn't see a glorified body of Jesus because he hadn't been glorified yet. It wasn't a glorified body that they saw. He hadn't died yet. He hadn't rose again. They didn't see a glorified body. Pastor, am I right or wrong? It's my pastor. And I got no problem being wrong. If I'm wrong, my pastor will put me to the side and I love way home and we just might want to go back there a little bit. And I will. I will. God, I will. But I think I've prayed this one out. It wasn't a glorified Jesus. Peter called it a marvelous light. A marvelous light. You know what they saw that day on the mountain of transfiguration? Do you know what they saw that day? They saw in Christ, in his humanity. Make no mistake, he was deity, but he was all human being. When he raised the dead, he did it in humanity. When he overcame the temptation to this world, he did it in his humanity. What they beheld that day on the mountain of transfiguration, Romans chapter 6 talks about it. As Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even we also should walk in newness of life. As Christ was raised from spiritual death by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. What they beheld in Jesus that day, what they beheld on the mountain of transfiguration, where they heard the voice and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." They would later on, either when they got born again or on the day of Pentecost, maybe 53 days later after the Last Supper, they beheld in Christ, in his humanity, what they would later go on to receive inside of themselves. That changed their life forever. They saw God in the flesh. God in spirit in flesh. They saw the glory of God. They saw the light of God. And either on the day when they got born again, I think it was either John 20 or John 18, or the day of Pentecost, they concluded, "My God, what we saw on the mountain, what we saw on that mountain, what I saw, Alex, what I saw, Rosie, my God, that is what's in us. We serve God now out of spirit, out of the light, out of the life that Christ is and has. We have that in us. Now I can so much more appreciate the book of Philippians. I can appreciate it so much. That a man would write a letter of encouragement in human dung to the church. That man knew what he lived out of. He lived his life in the spirit, according to the light, the life, and the glory of the Almighty God. What they saw in Jesus on the mountain of transfiguration, James, John, and Simon Peter concluded, "My God, what that man had on the mountain, John, we got it in us. We can turn this world upside down. Because although we wear a flesh, we are not the flesh. We are men born of God in spirit. We are going to change the world. Why? Because we're not refurbished. We are brand new creatures. There's not one emotional battle in the world that I can't make it through. Why? Because I am a new creation. I serve, I have fellowship with God the Father, not out of my emotions, but out of the Holy of Holies, out of my spirit. I have communion with the Holy God. This life is lived in God out of our spirit, out of that new man. Let's personalize the words new man. The new man that me and you are. We do not serve him out of our flesh. We absolutely, positively serve him out of his glory. We've been quickened, born again. Nothing can stop us. Not a fiery trial. Not a diverse temptation. Not an infirmity. Not affliction. Not persecution. Now I know why Simon Peter could be crucified upside down and preach the gospel for 3 days, because he knew his life was lived out of his spirit. And not out of an emotion. That's why there's failure in the body of Christ, because we cannot discern the two. We cannot discern the two. That's why people have left our church. God told me to leave. No, he didn't, you idiot. That was your flesh that spoke to you. No, that was not God. That was an immoral woman that Proverbs 4, 5, 6, and 7 talks about. That was your flesh. That's what convinced you to leave. That's what convinced you to leave. I love the walk that I'm on. You can't tell that we're on the right walk in our church because our church is empty. Well, not really. We got 150 empty chairs sometimes, so it's not really empty. But I love it. I told some good friends of mine about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I was going to retract from the statement, but then I didn't. I was talking to Terry and Kirsten, Robert and Harry, and who else was there that day when we had that fellowship? Robert, Harry, who? And Carl and Emily. And I said something. I thought I was bragging at first, but I was, but not on me, but on what we're taught. I said, I have more peace being blind that most Christians have 20/20 having their life. And I was going to apologize for it, but no, I'm not going to apologize because it's true. You know why? Because I spend time with Jesus. It's supposed to be like that. Not moved by anything. Not moved. Who says I can't have peace in my life being blind for a season until that manifestation comes? I'm not supposed to be in torment just because I can't see a little bit. I'm not supposed to live in torment, blaming God, not wanting to come to church. Woe is me. Oh my God, I can't let this happen to me. No, 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 no. No, no, no. How can I get mad at the one that's healed me already? How can I get mad? How can I be sour about that? My candle is burning brighter and brighter and brighter, and I get so excited about coming to church. Now I know why 10 of the 12 would give up their life for the gospel. Say, now I know, because they knew, they had an understanding and a revelation that their life was lived out of their spirit. Now I can see it clearly every day in diverse temptation. We are not to be moved because we are born of incorruptible seed. We are not to be moved. Does my flesh try to move me? Yes, it does. It tries to bark like a dog. What do you do? I quote scripture and I just say, I love you, Jesus. I had to say, I love you, Jesus, for about 2 hours today. Just, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I said it over and over and over again. Homer, are you an idiot? No, I'm in love with Jesus. Now I know why people quit. Well, you can count on one hand those that find revival status. I know we're on a collision course with something that brings God glory. What they saw in Jesus that day, it's what they would later have in them. And what they had in them and having them as men. Me and you have that same spiritual DNA inside of us. We are so well equipped. Along with being born again and then with the renewing of our mind by the Holy Ghost and by God's word, we can't lose. We can't lose. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Well, guess who else is his beloved son or daughter? We are. Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said, if anyone desires to follow me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross daily. Follow me daily. I've spent the day in that prayer closet and come out and felt like a child of hell at times after being there all day long with Jesus. He knew what I was going to face. But what I felt, that's what I crucify. I don't give heed to him. I don't speak what I feel. But I speak what I know to be truth, and that's his word. It's a daily, daily life of crucifixion in God. You know, me and you are dead to this world. We are dead to this world. We do not live our life out of the flesh, but most do. Because they do not know the difference. Why? Because we're so, in general, we lack the word of God. We so lack the word of God. Look, I'm going to say a couple of things tonight and that I've heard here. I'm not putting a face in front of it, but some things that I've heard that I can't comprehend after being under this man's doctrine for 20 years. I can't comprehend some of the things that I hear. I can comprehend, but I can't comprehend. Well, I don't hear 105.5. Amen, brother. But I hear 103.9. I was going to give him a high five, go, thank, praise God, but I hear 103.9. Here's one, here's going to get you. And I'm not going to be graphic with it. But you're intelligent. I did not know self-gratification was wrong. I love my wife. I just have to have a little something on the side. Ephesians says that out of our spirit flows holiness and righteousness. The modern day church does not know the difference because we are so numb to God's word. Very few. Let me rephrase. We have to have God's word in us. God, you got to have God's word in you. You've got to put it in. And the way that I've been taught to meditate the word, to me, we don't have a monopoly on how to read the Bible here. But the way I've been taught is you take a book. If I'm going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to you, I'm going to stand before him one day and be judged according to what I taught you. And my father in the faith and my pastor repeatedly said, I'll take a book like 1 John. If I'm going to preach it, I'm going to go through it 50, 100, 150, 200 times to get the mind of Christ out of that book to present it to you. And I'm going to pray in tongues right behind every time that I read it. Receiving the edification, exhortation, and comfort of the Holy Ghost. We have to press forward like never before. We have to press forward. I was thinking the other day randomly, I was on my treadmill. And I got a Facebook. I hardly post anymore. I post about my family or about tripa tacos on Facebook all the time. When I put the how much I like, Pastor, you don't know what tripas are. I'm not even going to tell you, Pastor Bronk. What do you got? Intestines, Pastor Bronk. Tacos of intestines. There you go. Is that what you want? Intestine, the tacos, Pastor Bronk. Intestines. You know what intestines are? You mean elaborate? Okay. And to all my white friends, I had to tell them what tripas were. It's not my fault he's not bilingual. You know what we don't need in this world? is more Facebook Christians. But we need Christians that have the book in their face continually. See, I can fool you on Facebook. I can quote with the best of them on Facebook, but you don't know what I do behind that screen. So we don't need more Facebook Christians. We need more Christians that have the book in their face. They have the book in our face. That are committed to the cross. When I see the men of valor writing Philippians and 1 Peter and 1 Timothy, I see what these guys, how they lived. How they consider their life as nothing. Those are the guys that I admire. When I see John the Baptist beheaded for preaching truth and Stephen stoned and saying, Father, forgive them, and the ultimate martyr taking one home with him on Calvary on the cross, that's what I want to do. I want to bring my God glory. I want to finish this, man. This town is dying and going to hell lest the glory of God comes. Lest that glory comes. I love what my pastor said a couple of Wednesdays ago, and he said it again today, and I loved it. I was talking about it the other day. I praise God. My desire with all my heart too is to feed the hungry. I hate knowing that there's hungry people in this town. I hate it. My dad's not a Christian, but he always gave to the poor. Always gave to the poor. In Christmas time, he would buy gifts galore for kids, and he never wanted anybody to know that it was him, and he wasn't even born again. He always taught me to give to the less fortunate, always. And Jesus gave to the less fortunate. Jesus fed the poor. And that's our heart here. That is our heart. And praise God for every single church in this town that does it. Praise God. And that needs to continue. But what my pastor said a couple weeks ago, it rocked my world. It rocked my world. We're not after the norm here. We're not after the norm. I don't want to be an average Christian. I don't. I'd rather die. My pastor said it was so powerful. He said, I haven't read where one person in Collier County has ever died of starvation. But we have read where hundreds and thousands die of cancer and of sickness. And the church seems to care little. Praise God for everyone that feeds the hungry. Yes, that's awesome, and I love doing it. But my God, there's a higher calling. It's for me and you to live crucified lives, to live our life out of our spirit, to bring our God a powerful revival where he gets all the glory, where the dead are raised and the blind see. The deaf hear. That's what we're after here. To die to the things of this world, to be galley slaves, to be men and women that have no rights, that don't love money, that don't love fame, but that all we do is love Jesus. That's what we're after here. You young men, you got to run with this, man. I'm halfway there. I'm going to be 49 years old. Pastor Bronx already 74. That looked pretty good. This young generation, guys, we have to live lives where we're dead to the world. Dead to the world. Dead to the world. And it will come at a price now. It will come at a price. Man, but it's well worth it. I'm supposed to be in torment right now. I have a granddaughter I've never seen. I'm supposed to be in torment, Pastor Bronk. I'm supposed to be inconsistent in church attendance right now, Pastor Bronk. I should be mad at Jesus right now, Pastor Bronk. I should be real mad at Jesus. I'm supposed to be mad at him. No, my friends. Paul said in Philippians, and I'm closing, do all things without murmurings and disputings. You may be harmless, blameless sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the Lord, holding fast the word of life. In other words, this life, no matter what I'm going through, I live it out of my spirit. I live it out of my spirit. I'm going to utter my last breath. I utter that last breath, living my life out of my spirit. If I'm facing a diverse temptation, I do not waver from God's word because I have been born again. If I'm persecuted and facing death for my faith, I take some home with me because I don't sell out my testimony. I live my life with you out of our spirits. That is becoming so, so, so real to me. Have you arrived? Not completely. How dare Paul say, do all things without murmurings and disputings when he was in prison? How dare him say that? Doesn't he know that I didn't have money for my light bill this month? How he's so egotistical. How dare him brag? In human dung up to his waist, writing a letter of edification to the church. Who does he think he is? Doesn't he know of my light affliction right now? Exhorting the churches in prison. And you couldn't even tell he was in prison as he wrote the epistle. He didn't complain. He said, the things that have happened to me have happened actually for the furtherance of the gospel. The things that have happened to me, chapter 1, have happened actually for the furtherance of the gospel, so that my chains in Christ are manifest throughout the whole palace guard. We march, friends. We march. What they saw on that mountain is what they received on the day of the rebirth. And what they received, we receive and have. And that is the glory of God. That is enough. That is enough. Not all, because there is a renewing process, a renewing of the mind through the praying in tongues process and through God's word and through worship and fasting. All these things we preach and we incorporate here. Is fasting fun? No. I heard somebody say, as a Christian, my life is going by way too fast. I said, okay, I can slow your life down. My life is cold. My days are so, they go by so fast. Okay, buddy, you have to pay me for this counsel. I'm going to show you how you can slow your life down tremendously. How? Start fasting. Oh, a 24-hour day, it turned into a month. Oh. Oh, God. And you know, I wasn't good yesterday. I started a fast 3 times yesterday. I shouldn't say this. 3 times. Actually, I've been doing good for the last 3 years, but yesterday I started it 3 different times. And it's so easy to start a fast after consuming a double whopper. Here it is. This is it. Oh, starting the fast, and then 3 hours later. Well, I hadn't done that in a while, though. That was a fleshly fast. I didn't even consider nothing, but look, I struck out yesterday 3 times. 3 times. Yeah, 3 times I did. I struck out here 3 times. But guess what? Tomorrow is a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day. So if your life's running ahead of you and you think that the days are accelerated, what I gave you is a gold nugget to slow your life down. Fast tomorrow. Oh, trust me, your day will go by so slow. So slow. Amen, Miss Candy and Pastor Brunk. But this doesn't come cheap, friends. It doesn't come cheap. All that we're taught here is for the edification of our spirit and for the mortification of our flesh. There's no brownie points for fasting. It's all to deal with unbelief. But we march. That image, the mountain of transfiguration, is working on me. I dare you. Put yourself there on that mountain. I think it's Matthew 16 and 17, Mark 8 and 9, I think Luke 9. Go over them. Over and over and over again. There will be an image downloaded inside of you. Well, you'll see that lit candle inside of you. And what's that candle's lit, my friends? Don't put it under a bushel, but put it on a lampstand so that all that are in the house may see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You're not born again to be dominated by the flesh. When you obey the light or the life of God or the inner witness, or you put that light on a candlestick, and in adversity, in diverse temptation, in fiery trial, in affliction, you let that light shine, man. You let it shine. Not one time again for my second closing. Not one time this has been, unless there's something in me that I don't know, not one time have I wanted to be tough during this trial of my life to encourage you. I never have. Though I've had people say, you're encouraging me. You know what? That's great. And amen. 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 That's real good. Because 1 Peter chapter 5 says we are to lead by example. I just love him, man. And if you're encouraged along the way, amen, come with me on this journey. But it's not that hard. Just come hell or high water, like Pastor preaches, we're keeping our appointments. And praise God that you've been encouraged through this 2 or 3 years that I've been like this. Praise God, amen, amen. But it's not that hard. Somebody told me, I don't know how you do it. I said, well, I don't know how you don't know how I do it. I missed that one. I don't know how you do it, Homer. Okay, well, I don't know how you don't know how I do it. Don't you got a Bible? We'll leave it at that. What's in us is powerful. Coupled with a renewing of our mind, we are unstoppable. Completely unstoppable. No matter what we face. No matter what we face. And trust me, those that truly believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are going to suffer persecution. It is written. Not only by the world, but by those inside the church. But we march. But we march. Because the image of the mountain of transfiguration, more than the image, what they beheld is inside of me and you. A marvelous light abides in us. We put on the new man that we are. We live our life in the Spirit. Our candle has been lit. Don't let your flesh, our flesh, put that flame out. Our flesh is subservient to our spirit, man. It serves it. We have won. We have won. Will there be battles from here to the end? Yes, but we have already won. You have to see yourself winning. That's what the book says. We fight and we fight and we fight and we fight. We have been born again. That statement is so underrated. And my father in the faith started, he used to say with a passion, I have been born again. Now I know what he meant when he said there was such exuberance and excitement. Now I know what he felt. Amen.
Yes.
Glory. Put the word of God in you, man. Along with that prayer language, put that word in you. Put that word in you. Find you a book and you camp there, man. I tell you, 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew have been tremendous to me lately. But you ask the Father where he would have you dwell. You'll be surprised how he might answer you back. Because he knows what you need. Because he knows what I need. And if you're unsure, then just start in Matthew and go through the whole Bible. But if you can't understand, then you're going to have a real hard time with the old. Real hard time with it. Amen. God is good. He is good. Stand with me, please. Please stay away from 103.9 also. Please. 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 I beg you. Father, we bless you. We praise you and we thank you. Father, we finish. We finish to bring you glory. We praise you and thank you for every saint of God here today, Father, that's hungry. Hungry for you. Hungry to bring you glory, Father. Hungry to bring you glory. Being galley slaves, Father. Considering our life as nothing, Father, to bring you an everlasting glory. So, Father, we praise you and we thank you. And we meet again here Wednesday to hear these incredible teachings by our pastor. And we rejoice that tomorrow we get to wake up and spend the day with you, Father. Not casting our care up, Father, but casting our hands up and worshiping you, Father God. And magnifying you throughout the day, Father, because you are worthy. We will not lift up our care, but we will lift up our hands, Father. And we worship you. We praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Say hi to somebody before you leave. God bless you.